Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
That's awesome. Awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's
awesome.
Really awesome.
Awesome.
That's, so
that's awesome.
Awesome.
Oh, awesome.
That's
awesome.
With Stephen Bradford.
Well, friends, we are very, very lucky to have this next guest with us. Well, and you know, this is, so I'm on the show a little bit, and I, one of the reasons I wish I was on the show more is to work with people like her.
Yes, she's amazing.
And also, actress. I'm excited to get to know her more because
me
I think
too.
We've like said but five words to each other in the span of however long we've been.
Yeah.
So anyway,
well, don't feel bad. Me too.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this is going to be great. This
is going to be good.
God, it's going to get so warm and friendly in here, and we can't wait. Cynthia Watros is with us today.
Hi. Woo! Thank you. Thank you for having me,
Cynthia. First of all, let me just say this: she's amazing because she's doing our podcast, and that's yes. very generous of you.
Right.
But I want to knock on her door, right? Because
yeah.
people know how we get our guests. Like, there's really no plan.
It's amazing.
Like, he's here, and we're like, okay, who's – can you do it? No. Can you do it? No. So I go, Cynthia? She goes, oh, come on in. It's 184 degrees in a room, and I crossed the threshold, and immediately
yeah.
I wanted to vomit because
right.
it was so hot. And I'm like, will you do our podcast, Cynthia? And she's like, sure, that sounds great. I said, let me get out of here fast.
It was not that hot.
Oh, that
you
is
know, I like
bull. That is
it's
bold.
Only hot because it's like 30 degrees in here.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well, the downstairs area where the dressing rooms are, sometimes it can be a little stuffy, but it's never hot down here, I don't
right.
believe.
Yeah.
But in your room, you
it
keep
is.
It cozy. You like a cozy room.
I do like a cozy room. I was laying on my couch, and I do like it cozy. It
yeah.
just kind of... It's good, too. It softens me up. So if someone
yeah.
knocks on the door
hey,
and asks
I'll
me to do something, I'm more receptive.
I don't know.
Thank
I
you.
Find when I'm that hot, I just fall asleep. And,
yeah.
Sure.
And, you know, like the days here, if you're tired and groggy, sometimes it's hard to get up and going upstairs.
That's right. Well,
so, yeah.
the fear alone drives me upstairs.
Thrown right to the fire. First of all, wow, what a career you've had.
Thank
so
you.
Far, amazing. Like, we don't do a lot of research on people usually.
Right.
We try to get a little bit just so we don't ask a dumb question.
Yeah, but well, holy crap, your IMDb, I'm like, what the heck, man? You've done a lot of sitcoms, too.
Well, I'm like 150 years old,
no,
so
you're
I've had
not.
A long time to do
no.
a lot of stuff.
No, but how amazing. I mean, all the sitcom work you've done, how... Was that kind of when you got started? Was that kind of you wanted to do sitcoms or you wanted to do drama?
Well, you know, I was in New York doing Guiding Light, and then after 3 years, I was like, I want to go to L.A. And so I went and visited L.A. And the first at that time, you know, your agents just kind of throw you into all these like pilot auditions
yeah.
and stuff like that. And I always liked comedy, even
yeah.
when I was Evil Annie. She was sort of had a funny side to her.
Yeah.
And so the first pilot I auditioned for called Titus.
Yes, Christopher Titus.
And I was the first person. And they were like, oh, we like her. But then they were trying to – they liked other people and they weren't meeting my quote. You know, as an actor, you have quotes.
Oh, sure.
Sure.
And
you
so I passed.
You brought in that big soap quote that you had.
I know. It was huge at that
yeah,
time.
Yeah. So
really, the $2.50. Yeah. They
so
would
really,
only do $2.25.
So they had no budget at all.
They had no budget. And and then I auditioned. Then they came back.
Yeah.
And I got the part, which was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was my start of my love affair for half-hour comedies.
And was that on Fox?
Great. That was on Fox.
Oh, yep.
And it was a very dark comedy. It was based on his life.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
like his mother was schizophrenic. She actually
wow.
killed her boyfriend. And we all
oh
and
gosh.
We made fun. And somehow, through tragedy, there's
and
comedy.
He's a comedian anyway, so that's
yeah.
what he draws on.
Right.
So
right.
Wow. So did you shoot that at the Fox at the
yes.
Fox lot?
Uh-huh.
How cool is that?
Yeah, it was.
You like
a
come
lot of
out
fun.
And you right
welcome
on the sitcom
to LA and you're
right
there.
On a studio. You're
the
like
big
I made
picture.
It.
Yeah, at Times Square they had a big picture, so all my
oh,
friends
yeah.
were just like, "What?"
That's
yeah,
amazing.
So in the little bit of research that we did do. I see you're from the Midwest.
Yeah.
Yes, you're from Michigan?
Yes.
Oh, so, no.
Yeah. And then I noticed you went to school for acting, which I always appreciate because some people didn't.
Some people are still working.
Yeah.
Some others aren't.
So what were you like as a kid? What was growing up in Michigan like?
Well, small town in Michigan, and nothing too dramatic or anything. I went to public school. I had no idea that acting, I had no idea what I was going to be. So
what'd you do instead?
After high school, I went to a community college.
Oh.
And I was going to do child psychology. And then there was a big poster, and I had no friends in this college, and it said anti-MAME auditions. So I went to the local bookstore, and I found the play, and I read it over and over again. And I went to the auditions, and they cast me as Agnes Gooch. She was like the comedic sort of part in it. And I didn't really have money to take the director's theater classes. So through that, she gave me a scholarship to her acting classes.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And then she said, you need to go to a conservatory.
Wow.
So that's where I went to Boston University.
So that's that's your life-changing experience right there. That person, that company, that poster.
Poster,
yeah.
And when you see something and you're like, why not? You know, it's kind of like, do if something's calling for you to do it,
sure,
you should do it.
So there was nothing in your life, were you into music or dance or nothing like in theater, nothing in your life up to that point had even gave you an inkling of interest?
No, I was really, I was just lost. I was, I had no idea what I was going to do in my life.
Wow.
Yeah.
That makes two of us. Bradford had it all planned out since he was three.
Really?
That's why.
No. I'm from a small town too, so I had a lot of great influences. But wow, so then you end up from small town Michigan to BU. That's amazing.
It is.
So was that just like, oh, that's a school I got into, or that's specifically where I want to go?
I auditioned for two schools, BU and Juilliard, and
those are good choices.
Yeah,
I'm still very bitter over not getting into Juilliard.
Well, you talk like a normal person. People from Juilliard don't talk like normal people, so you win.
No, that's right.
And you were going to be a psychologist, so let it go.
Yeah, that's right. It wasn't meant to be.
So
BU was a perfect fit.
Yeah.
Great time.
How was life? And did you love Boston? Were you there for 4 years? Or
I was there for 4 years. It was an adjustment. Like,
sure.
When I was living in Michigan, I never had fancy haircuts. And I remember the first time I saved my money. I was cleaning houses to try to save up money to do stuff in Boston.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go. There's Newbury Street in Boston.
Yeah.
And I went on Newbury to get a haircut. Ooh. And I remember going up to the counter and the woman hands me a robe and says, go into these dressing rooms and get changed. And I was like, why? Why is she giving me a robe?
What's happening here?
So I went into the dressing room and I thought, maybe this is like a doctor's office. And I took off every stitch of clothes. And I folded it really nice. And I had, I was like debating on whether or not I should take off my shoes.
Sure.
And so I handed her this pile of clothes and she kind of looks at me. And then I was like, I looked around and I saw other people had pants on. So that was sort of, it took a little adjusting.
Of course.
Yeah, that's what happens when Bradford goes to Supercuts. He does the same thing.
Just because.
I just get naked.
Yeah. They're like, no thanks, Jackal.
So I'm comfortable. This is full body grooming at Supercuts, right?
Yeah. No.
Otherwise, it would just be like okay cuts. If it's got to be super,
it better
I want
be super.
Full body grooming. Amazing.
Don't make me throw up again today.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Sorry. And there was a lady present.
Yeah.
My goodness. Okay. So was there any work that you did at BU that was there any moment of connection in that conservatory process that you can recall?
I think it started in that community college where. It's not something, of course, I learned so much about the craft and how to analyze scripts and sort of, but it really was allowing myself to dive into the well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And be vulnerable and just allow myself to feel things that sometimes don't feel great to bring to the surface. And also to be a better listener, because I think a lot of acting is, just listening to the other person and reacting to that. And so I did learn a lot, but I learned a lot about myself too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best thing about theater school is like hanging around with people that are wearing their emotions on their, you know, hearts on their sleeves and sharing it, oversharing. Yeah. That's the best part of it.
Oversharing. Okay, you can be done now. Know enough about you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people that get a politics degree probably don't get that experience, you know?
Yeah.
So we're lucky. We get human experiences in college.
So did you move back? Did you move to New York after Boston? Or how did that whole thing go
Then
down?
I moved. I got a scholarship, actually, from BU. They gave a scholarship to someone who, in the class, for some reason or another. And then it was $15,000, and I had no money. And I was like, this is fantastic. So I go to New York, and I get a studio, and I buy a really nice couch. And I'm poor again.
And I'm broke.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure that's what the framers of the scholarship were like. Yes, let's give this artist a couch.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I got a waitress job and struggled for a year until I got Guiding Light.
So when you were in college, do you think I'm going to go be a theater actress in New York, or you're like, I want to do film and TV, or did it just not like, hey, I just want to work?
It was a theater school, so yeah. I think they were, but I can't. I mean, no one wants to hear me sing, and so I think I did off Broadway, but I couldn't pay my rent. Like, I was getting dry cleaning piece by piece,
yeah,
because it was just too expensive to get everything
right
out, and I was getting evicted from my apartment.
Oh, gosh.
So the only way
to
sort of, and school loans, is to work in TV,
which
I really love.
Sure.
So you kind of get put in that direction.
So you got an agent?
Got an agent through the conservatories. When you go to they have, like, the leagues.
Like a showcase.
Yeah, kind of, and then agents and managers. And
cool.
I still have – the agent I have now was an assistant.
No.
And now she's – so I've had her for 50,000 years.
That's amazing,
yeah.
though.
That's cool.
That doesn't often happen.
So you get Guiding Light.
Mm-hmm.
And was it, like – did it just change everything right away for you?
It did.
I mean, obviously the money was great
because
you could – buy food.
Keep an apartment.
Right, keep an apartment.
At that point, did you still look at the couch the same way? Or like,
I still had that. Oh, that couch.
No,
that couch stayed.
What happened to the couch? Where is it now?
I don't have the couch now. I didn't make the move to L.A., but
okay.
I love that couch.
Okay.
And I was really heartbroken when I had to let it go.
So Guiding Light, obviously the money was great, but what else kind of changed? Because, you know, New York loves their soap operas too. Just the people there love it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, back then when... I think soaps are really in their heyday.
Yeah.
I was still taking the bus to 44th and, you know, 2nd. So.
Oh, they were on the east side.
They were. Then they switched. After I left, then they moved.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think people still are very passionate about their soaps.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, for sure.
And I was an evil character. So I would have, you know, some... some really passionate people. A couple
come
times I would get
street.
Spit at.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like, well, thanks for watching.
Yeah, right?
Thanks for yeah. Thanks for watching.
Thanks for your spit for DNA.
Thank you.
Appreciate
you.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But that, so to jump right into TV in a role like that, do you remember, like, was it intimidating or were you just like, oh, this is awesome. I get the opportunity to not just, like, play necessarily a stock character, but like something that is out there a little bit. Like,
yeah,
I mean, I you know, right out of school, you know, maybe, you know, sometimes you're not as like fearful of, you know, you're sometimes braver when you're right out of school.
You sure are.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just like moving to a different town, just doing all these auditions.
Yeah.
She started off as nice.
Oh, she did.
And I don't know where I got the courage, but there was one day I remember that switched it for me. And I think at that time, and I still believe the writers watched the show just to see what's going
on.
And I was very nice, and I was washing my stepdaughter's like laundry or something. And I was like, Mara, your pink sweater's done. And I wasn't working a lot, and I had this sort of like just kind of dull, nice character.
Okay, yeah.
And I picked up one, and I was like, oh, and this sweater. And I just stopped for a second. I said, I have a terrible headache. And I just added that in. And then I did my dialogue. And then I noticed that they started writing in that I took more and more pills for my headache.
Yes.
And then I
I became addicted to pills.
Fantastic.
And then I started kidnapping kids and carrying guns and
wow.
and like yeah.
So
all
it was the headache line that changed everything.
I truly it could be just me thinking
no,
that
I mean,
it was
it's true though. It's...
But it did change the outcome, like the future scripts. I noticed that they were starting yeah. to put things in.
And that isn't that. That's the that's one of the most fun things about this genre is that you know. A little drop in a pond can end up creating story because things can evolve mm-hmm. in this genre more so than it doesn't have to be as concrete for, yeah, we have 12 episodes this year and we're going to have 12 next year. So we better know what we're going to do. Yeah. Like that's, I love that.
Yeah.
And so that was 4 years?
3 years.
3 years.
And an Emmy. Yes.
And an Emmy.
That's pretty crazy, you. Though.
It is crazy.
I mean, you're right out of school. You it's get out of soap opera, then you
bizarre.
Win Emmy for a lead actress, which is one of the obviously hardest categories there is.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
So how'd you feel? I mean, how'd you feel then?
I just cried the whole time.
But did you feel like, I mean, I don't think actors ever feel like, I've made it, you know, but did you feel like, were you confident? Were you... You know, were you did they give you a kind of a timetable of when your role was going to end at that time?
I was actually I already left the show by the time I got the Emmy.
Okay.
made the decision, like
so
I
you're
said,
like, hey.
I was like, I'm gonna go to LA and try it out there, and so I had to come back to go to the awards, and which I really loved, and you know, I did I cried most of the time. I was in disbelief, and it was a really great night.
Was it Radio City Music Hall?
It was.
Awesome.
And I have to say, though, the statue itself is really beautiful, but it didn't really change anything about my life.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I got a lot of phone calls that night, which is great.
Right.
Sure.
But, it you know, I think you have in your mind that the statue or is going to change
it doesn't.
Your yeah. life, and it doesn't.
Bradford wouldn't know, but yeah, it
I wouldn't know.
Cynthia, that's just between me and you. We'll talk.
Fistful of
the
losses.
The Emmy winners will talk here for 1 minute. Hold on, Bradford.
New York for 3 years. Did New York ever feel like home, or were you always like? Because I know some people that live in New York always have a love for it in a way that like, but life is more comfortable in California. But I'm curious, like your relationship to New York. What was that like?
Oh, yeah, and I still consider New York my home.
Yeah.
So it'll always be home, and I still go back a lot. And but California is my home, too.
Yeah, for sure.
No, I have to say that I really have appreciated every place that I have lived, you know, for different reasons.
Yeah.
You know, I have this thing where when I go and I travel for work or something, I go, oh, this is like a monther. Like you could be here for a month
yeah.
or like a weeker.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a day or
yeah,
this
yeah,
is good.
Sure. This is good.
I can appreciate it for right. like a
we
day.
We won't name any of those
no,
places.
No, we won't.
Yeah,
we're
I not. Could. I could name a lot of those.
So as soon as you came out to LA, things went pretty well.
Yeah.
So Titus.
Yeah.
And then that was great. And then it got canceled after 3.5 years.
It's a yeah. pretty good run, yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
And then I just got a string of comedies. I believe after Titus, it was Drew Carey.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That was a lovely show to be on.
I can imagine.
I hear he was amazing.
Amazing. The Drew whole Carey. Cast, so loving. And, you know, you think about a job that you... I never felt like I worked a day on that set.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Were the processes of filming, you know, working with a stand-up guy like... Titus and then working with other stand-up people and other improv people, how were those were the processes different? Was there more improv in one than the other, or like how did the scripts come to be? Was it similar or was it different?
Well, on Titus we shot the whole show like a play in front of an audience.
Oh wow.
And then we would after the play we'd call it our play we would go into the green room and we'd get notes from the beginning all the way to the end. Mm. Oh, that joke didn't work, so let's change it to here. Here's the rewrite. And oh, that thing didn't happen, so we need to do that. And then we'd go back. The audience would be there. We'd get a comic or something so they're not completely bored.
Right.
And then we would do it with the rewrites all over again. In front of the audience.
Start to finish?
Okay, yeah. And then we would let the audience go and then do our pickups. Because nobody
wants
to see
that. That's a crazy process. I've never heard of that process before.
I know, yeah. It was... But, and on Drew, we didn't do that.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, we just did, we did the scene. If it didn't work, we did the scene again. And then we would just keep
in
doing
front
it
of the audience.
In front of the audience. Front of the audience until we could move on.
Right. And I imagine with that group, was there what was there times of people just like, was there a lot of improv? Or
yeah, there was improv. Yeah, I think with that group, there definitely was improv. But there was also, you know, with comedy, as you guys know, I find it to be a lot more difficult because it's all timing. So
can't,
it's hard to, because every word is, it's like a, has sort of a measure to it.
Sure.
So I felt like I had to be more word on.
Yeah.
And then maybe in between the lines, I could say something. But the lines itself, I had to pretty much be word on.
Right. Was there navigating other people's improv more so?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the guys. I was always kind of the straight woman helping the guys with their, or just kind of being there while they were being funny.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. How cool, though.
Yeah. Yeah. What unique to have those experiences back to back, I would imagine. But by the end of it, were you like, I want to cry. Give me some drama.
And then it was a big switch.
Yeah.
It was then Lost.
Today's episode of That's Awesome is brought to you by Heat Holders. Guys, a couple weeks to Christmas. What better stocking stuffers are there than stockings? Socks, friends. Heat Holders, the warmest thermal socks around. They keep your feet warmer than just ordinary socks in the coldest conditions. How do they do it? Heat Holders uses a three-stage process with a cashmere-like advanced insulating yarn that's soft to the touch and brushed on the inside and traps warm air closer to your skin, keeping your feet warmer, comfortable, and dry. Heat Holders says it makes the softest, most comfortable socks. Guaranteed. It's truly like pampering your feet. So give them as a present to someone else or give them as a present to yourself. You deserve cozy socks. Guys, the holidays are about relaxing, enjoying yourself, curling up, and you can't be cozy without cozy socks. Ladies, I know you like cozy socks. My wife loves these socks. So go to heatholders.com, enter the code AWESOME and save 15% off your order. And yes, there's an and. You receive free shipping with any purchase of $25 or more. Again, 15% off your order with code AWESOME and free shipping with any purchase over $25 or more. So go to heatholders.com, use the code AWESOME, and make your life warmer. Heatholders.com. Nothing was single camera up to that point, right?
Nothing was single camera. Yeah.
Yeah. And but cool to be, because you came in what?
The second season.
So it was in full-on phenomenon phase at that point, right?
Yeah. It was.
Yeah. So, and also moving to
Hawaii.
Yeah.
Which I've never been. So they were like, in 2 weeks, you have to live in Hawaii and do the single camera.
Yeah, that place is more than a dayer.
It's more than a dayer. It definitely was not my dayer. Yeah.
Yeah. So how long were you there in Hawaii?
Well, I lived there for a year, but then on Lost, they kept bringing you back. So I would. For years, I would just go back and play.
Now, coming off the sitcoms, though, where the casting directors not sometimes you can get pigeonholed, right?
Right.
Were they pretty willing to audition you? Was there any kind of feedback on that? Like, oh, she's a sitcom person. Or,
did you find
he's
any
a daytime person?
Any pushback when you were coming out of soaps and comedies? Did anyone think, oh, she only does that?
Maybe my agents hid it from me, but it seemed like they were kind of open to bringing me onto the hour. I don't know why, but it was pretty open. But I have gotten, because after that hour, it was funny enough, I had a hard time getting half hours. Because
people were
like, oh, no, but she's.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
She's a serious
people have
actor.
Such, like,
you're like,
short
no, I've done 200 episodes of sitcoms.
Right.
And
right.
Now you know me from Lost.
Yeah. Right.
Wow.
Short imagination. Mm-hmm. No imaginations and short memories for sure.
Yeah.
Were you intimidated going into that? Or what was walking onto that set like?
I think I forgot about House. But I think House was after.
Yeah, you did.
Maybe House was after Lost. I was intimidated because I actually, to be honest, I didn't watch Lost. So I had to talk to some friends that watched the show.
That's amazing.
And I said, I don't understand why we're on an island and then I'm in an office.
Right. Sure, yeah.
And she was like, no, and let me tell you.
Right.
So it was such a big hit.
Huge.
And yeah. I didn't really realize it until I arrived in Hawaii. And, until I started telling people, I'm on this show Lost. And they were like, what?
And, that's like saying you're on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, yeah. I know, right? Totally.
And then I arrived in Hawaii, and it just kind of was just this unreal sort of... I mean, it was difficult work. We were outside most of the time in the elements and wild boar and these things.
Bugs
and if they bit you, you'd have to go to the hospital right away.
Really?
Yeah. What are they, like the centipedes that are like poisonous? And but luckily nothing happened.
You didn't get bit by one of those bugs?
I didn't die, no.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, you watch the show and it
makes it look amazing. But you're in any time of jungle, it's not good.
Well, that's the thing is, like, you don't know what the actual, like, if that's just a really cool decorated. So it's interesting to hear the realities of what you guys went through. Yeah, like any extreme like remembrances from like the worst of the lot?
Well, it was mostly daily. It was just we would go in the van and there would be a huge open field, and they wanted the field to look pristine. So no travel marks or anything. So they didn't walk through it to make sure like there wasn't any like
things
there. Like, so they're like, okay, we're going to have you walk through this field, and if anything attacks you, just raise your right arm. So we're just like, okay.
So you could only gesture with your left hand.
Yeah, no. It's just, and then you were in the water a lot, and then we had locals who really know the land and the water, and so they would tell us, like, time to get out of the water. And
because of, like, currents or sharks?
Undercurrents and all sorts of things.
Feeding
yeah.
time, buddy.
Woof.
Yeah, so there was... It rained, which the rain in Hawaii is so beautiful.
Amazing.
But, you're trying to climb up this mountain, and it's muddy, and you're wearing the same clothes.
Right.
Because you're stranded on this island. And my wardrobe choice, they chose, like, these sandals for me. And so I was open-toed with these Velcro. They didn't last long.
Can I get some work boots here? What the heck, man?
Wow. And did... Like, was the actual work, like, managing, trying to do your work with all those elements must have been super challenging. But did they shoot it really slowly, too? Or was it, like, so with single-camera shows and you're focusing on, you know, the dialogue there, you're not going having huge emotional reactions unless you're in danger, right? Like, because a lot of it was underplayed, a lot of it, right? So was the work challenging, or was it more the elemental stuff?
I found everything challenging with that show.
Yeah.
You know, some shows are just easier than others, and I found that to be, like, every day I felt I felt like I was in a different sort of challenge. And because I came from half hour and soaps, I really had to learn to scale it down. It was a completely different world than what I was used to.
What I found when I left here, it was so interesting always being on a set and then shooting in a real location. It was just really, it was an odd transition for me of being always in a set where things are fine. You know exactly where everything is all the time. And then you're in somebody's house, or you're in the backyard of somebody, like some neighborhood, or in the jungle. And you're just like, this is just odd. It just really, it kind of messed with my head for a while mentally. Like, it just changed. It's just a weird transition acting wise.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And, but man, being in the jungle. That's just not great at all. Like, at all. And then having to act, not fun.
Yeah, yeah.
But you were there a year? I lived there a year.
Libby, it might be a spoiler. I hope that – maybe I shouldn't say anything.
If people haven't watched
Lost by now, it's their fault.
Yes.
So Libby dies.
Right.
It was a long death. Like, she died for, like –
How many episodes?
I think it was two episodes, but they had me spitting up this blood.
Oh.
And for the first couple of times, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
After the second day, it's not
so much
fun.
You're like, get this out of here.
Yeah, okay, I'm done.
A two-day death.
Yeah.
Well,
was the blood sweet? Was it like...
It was sweet.
Yeah, like... Yeah. corn
but that,
syrup. Yeah.
Usually as an actor, you know, I feel pretty good about doing things and then letting it go, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I remember after that death, I had a hard time. It kind of got into to let it go.
And just the emotional experience? Or
yeah.
Or like yeah, you just found blood coming up a lot?
No, just emotionally. Usually, yeah. You know, I feel like I can just, I can drop
right.
My character and walk away.
Interesting.
And I really remember Libby being in like my solar plexus. Like she was in my belly for,
right.
And after she died, because she was crying and then they said cut, and I just kept crying. I
do
just
you
felt
think
like
that could be
it.
A culmination of the physical also of what you went through for that year of filming?
It could be.
You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
There's usually like the we don't have to really worry about anything physically here, elements or any of that stuff. But to do that physically and then to be have to act and be emotional, that's just interesting that that stuck with you and nothing else really did.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Took a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of finding what you needed to accessing what you needed to access for that role specifically, was whatever material you were. Whatever your process was for that, was that more I mean, obviously we talked about like the physical toll, but were you accessing things that were that you hadn't accessed before? Like, what was there something about that character that, without getting too personal, obviously, but like, or was it just when the character ended? Do you know what I mean?
I think it was the. It could have been. I don't really know how to answer that, but I think it was the combination of it was a hard job for me.
Yeah.
And like Steve said, and it was also when you're spitting up blood, you kind of using different breath work and the way she died and how long it took. And I just couldn't stop crying. And yeah. I don't think I'll ever know the explanation. It was really quite embarrassing, actually, because everyone's like, lunch! And lunch. I'm like, you know, and I had to just kind of walk away and try to... I mean, it wasn't hours, but longer than I usually... I can usually shake it off. Right.
Yeah.
Steve, you've done a death scene. I don't think I've ever done a death scene. And I don't know, Does it actually affect your idea of your own mortality? Like in some way? If you see yourself actually spitting up blood and your brain is processing that, that may affect you.
Good.
And you know, I've never done it, so I don't know. And
it could have touched.
He was shot
that.
In the back, so
I was kicked in the water. I died quick.
Yeah, so I'm not sure he felt that.
For me, it's the kid stuff on the show that I hang on to.
Well, sure.
That's hard to shake right away. Is like dying kids.
Sure.
That's really difficult for me to...
Yeah.
Because, you know, you got to go to places you never want to go to, but you have to, and then it's just hard to kind of let go of it.
Yeah, that's a hard place to sit in.
You know, now that we're all downers...
I know. So
let's talk about something funny.
Hopefully she went back to a comedy, please.
So do you prefer one over the other?
No, I like them both.
Yeah.
I think comedy is... for me, trickier.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Yeah,
yeah, it's tougher for sure.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about that last job, it sounds like, is that once that they just kept calling you, and so like you get to go back in flashbacks and stuff, or whatever other worlds or whatever it was.
Right.
Yeah. You got to do other stuff.
Did it open a lot of doors? Did you feel opened a lot of doors or not really?
Sort of. Yeah. I think. You know, I've been doing this for 20 plus years, and you know, just like anything, it's a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
You have these really wonderful years, and then you have these years that and I noticed that it's sort of like changes within me. Like if I, you know, as you get older, especially as a woman, you're not the ingenue anymore. You're the person with the kids, and then your kids are getting older. And then you're just kind of stuck in this weird age. Like, they don't know where to put you. And they're really not interested in trying to figure it out.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it goes up and down. I mean, I've been lucky enough to,
when I first started on the business, I remember just I just kept praying. I just want to be able to make a living.
Yeah.
Doing what I love.
Sure.
And great. So I've been fortunate enough to be able to, you know, say that most times I've been able to do that.
You know, obviously you've had roles that take a lot of work to execute, but is there anything else in your life that feeds you, whether it's hobbies or other ways to be creative, or when you're not working, do you just like, hey, I like to watch football? Like, yeah. Or do you want to be clear of creativity, or is there something else that feeds you? You know, because we talk about it here, when you've been on a show like this for 20 years, like Steve has, sometimes this doesn't always feel creative. It doesn't, you know, like, so, you know, we look for other ways to be creative. But obviously you've had such a varied career that, you know, you know, but I'm curious.
Well, I like a lot of stuff. You know, I have twins that are now 18. So
what?
They're going into college.
Wow.
They're in college.
So you were doing this and momming at the same
and
time.
And momming it. So they were, I was dragging these two little girls with me across the country.
Wow.
So I love, 18. I got into yoga a couple of years ago. I never liked yoga. I always was like, no, I want to run or lift weights or I want to like use my body and. Not yoga, that's just stretching. But then yeah. I noticed that yoga really makes you strong, but also really helps your brain.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, yeah, for sure.
And I fell in love with that. And I feel like that's a way that I can decompress.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And so that's my time out. But I like the usual. I love to write. I love painting. I mean, I really do love creating.
Yeah.
So anything that I can do to create. And I do like to sing. I like to dance. Like, I like the whole thing. Whether or not people are going to pay money to hear me sing, sure. I'm not sure. But I like it all. I like. Right. I love everything about music. Yeah. So there's a lot of things that I just like doing.
Right. And a lot of those things are just like, in my house, I like to do this. I don't need to share it with any of you.
Right.
But this is for me and for my family. That's great. Did your kids ever go, Mommy Does looks kind of interesting?
My daughter Emma, is going to Cal State Fullerton, which is like 15 minutes away from here for acting.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
I had an initial like, oh God, no. Then I was like, no, I can't do that.
You can't tell her no.
The more you push against it, the worse it'll be.
I mean, at least she's older now and not doing it when she's 10.
Yeah.
You know, because I started when I was 16. So I felt that it was a good age to start. Mm-hmm. I was able to be a kid. And have fun, and then now, hey, this is something cool I get to do, and I don't have to go to college. This is amazing. I'm from Ohio. I'm like, hey, I don't got to go to college. I'm going to start doing commercials.
But if you had gone to college, you wouldn't have said, I don't got to go to college.
Right.
So that would have been good for you.
Hey, Steve, did you go to...
That's not hurting my 401k, so you can shut your mouth now. Yes.
Did you go to Cedar Point?
All the time I went to Cedar Point. Come on.
Too. Yeah, yes. That was like our vacation.
Cedar Point, it's amazing.
We actually
drove by it during one of our trips on the road.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's Cedar Point. It's amazing.
Some of my first roller coasters were there because I didn't go into roller coasters, and then I went to Cedar Point in college with some friends, and I felt like I had to, so I didn't look scared. And so they're big there.
Yeah.
They are.
It was great.
Yeah.
So when you went to – you were in Y&R for a little while. Did you run into Drew ever?
Drew Carey. Yeah, oh, yeah. No, I didn't. Because, you know, I would see all the Price is Right stuff, but no, I never got
What's
to
crazy
see
is my room was right next to his room.
Oh, really?
Like, right next to his room. But he had it so awesome because the rooms there were probably the size of this, but not all of them, but they had shower bathrooms.
Oh,
you know.
Yeah.
But his was two
en-suites.
Two of these rooms. His was.
Oh,
like,
wow. Well,
maybe even three, because there was a big conference table. I looked in there once, conference table. And, you know, his room was decked out, and he plays guitar, I guess, and whatever, a lot of music. He loves music. But he had it so set up perfect. Like, he'd literally walk out his door across the hall, which is the size of our hallway here, and onto the set.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Like, I saw him probably twice in 5 years.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
But I always heard the other part was – The Price is Right, like they had people line up in our hallway.
Oh, that's right.
In the dressing room hallway. So every time it was like doing a little appearance on the way to the dressing room. it wasn't super private, but it was fun. But anyway.
After cool. So Steve mentioned you did some years on YNR. What, like, having gone through that career span of doing comedies and single cams, was coming back to daytime exciting, freeing, frustrating, or just like, hey, cool jobs? What, like was doing daytime now, does it feel different or does it feel familiar?
Well, when I went to YNR, I only did it for a couple months, because then I did a show in Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
So it felt great.
Yeah.
And then coming back to this, I don't know if it's because my first job was a soap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That I feel like in a way it's coming home.
Yeah.
Like in a way it's comforting to me.
Sure.
This time around, it goes a lot faster.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. So how'd this come about? I know it's always tough to take over another role, and, you know, on a soap opera, it's always been that way. But how did this, you know, when Michelle left and went back, how did this whole thing go down? Did you just get a call? Or did you have to?
I got a call from my agent saying they're just checking to see if you'd ever want to go back to soaps. And I just got done with that Finding Carter show.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, well, what's the part? Oh, Michelle Stafford, Nina, and I kind of looked at the part, and I really liked it. And I loved Michelle.
Yeah,
and
she's
and I said, well, let's talk about it. So we talked a little bit, and then I said yes. And then I was like, oh, I feel good. But I have to admit, it's probably the hardest job I've ever had.
Really?
It is.
Why?
Well, taking over a role that I've never taken over a role before.
Sure, that's...
And taking over a role, like if Michelle sucked, it would have been so much easier. I would have... I mean, people would have been like, thank God for you, Sylvia.
Yeah.
But she's so good
that
it's been tough. And with social media, that I don't feel like I really... had social media on my phone before, but for some reason I have social media on my phone, and I just like press a button, I suddenly feel really badly about myself.
Oh man,
I know. It's
and
it's
so not. I had to take social media off my phone.
Yeah,
but then I would just find it on my computer, so I would work like twice as hard to make myself feel like crap.
Yeah.
But then once I got beyond that,
sure,
of the what do people think of me, and
that's tough though. Yeah.
And just settled into, listen, it is what it is. I do my best.
Sure.
And
well, you do an amazing job.
And
yes.
You're
an amazing actress.
I try really hard, and I love being here.
Yeah.
So there's nothing really more I can do.
Right.
No, you're obviously, your resume says it, but you're an amazing actress, and you and James work so well together.
Yeah,
and it's
great.
Fun to watch you guys, and it's cool because you guys are always rehearsing and going over your stuff, and it's really cool that you know that you guys are working together the way you are, you know, because you did some music videos of his too, right?
Yeah, he's recording all this music, and I just happened to say, James, if you need anything, I can do lights or carry the. And he was like, why don't you be in it? I need two actors to be in. And I was like, sure. And it was so much fun.
And it looks great because
yeah,
all the
so
stuff he's
fun.
Posted looks awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was shot well. I'm like, what the heck, man? They're doing
well,
some
and
cool
lucky
stuff.
Him, he gets you and Chloe. I mean, like, that's pretty great.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, that's super fun. And did you know him? Because back when you were doing Guiding Light, did you know anybody from the soap world and the New York soap world back then? Do you remember?
You mean from here?
No, but like in Guiding Light, like when you were doing Guiding Light, he was probably on All My Children, right?
I didn't know any. I didn't know him before. No, yeah. I just met him when I came here.
Yeah. It's great when you have an acting partner here. Like he was kind of my acting partner for years. And, you know, but it's not luck of the draw, right? Everybody here is talented. But when you find that with somebody, it's pretty cool.
Well, he didn't have to be so like accepting, like. He could have just been hi, I'm, you know, your new actor. But he really made that transition so easy for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was so giving of his time and just so, like, supportive.
Yeah.
And that means a lot.
Sure.
It means, because you don't have to be kind. But when you find someone who's kind in this business, it's just like, I think I mostly find really kind actors.
Yeah.
Because we're all in the same boat, doing the same stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's not an easy business.
Well, and hopefully the people that have hung around not just because they have some skill, but because they're not jerks,
yeah.
Right? I mean, yes, there's plenty of jerks that keep getting work, but, you know... Hopefully most
can't name those either.
No, can't name those either. But they, yeah, yeah, we can send them off to those towns that you don't want to hang out.
Yeah, one day or so.
Hey, yeah, that's right. You can label people that day. Yeah. One day, one week, one. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Oh, you're a one dayer. Bye. Damn, well, you've been here for 10 years. Shoot.
Well, but that's actually daytime is a pretty good litmus test because one dayers or one weekers don't hang around in daytime. Yeah. Sometimes they do, but yeah. for the most part, and what I like about here is. You know, when you do good work, and if you're a good person, that helps too. But good work is rewarded, and good work ethics, you know, a good work ethic is rewarded here too. You're bound to meet up with someone else that's not a terrible person.
Yeah. yeah.
But no, James is quite a guy.
Yeah, he's a great
guy.
Yeah.
Very lucky.
Well, it's awesome to see you guys work together, and the show is certainly better for it. And
now we know you so much better. Yeah. Which is amazing. Now we can talk to you in the hallway.
I know.
I won't be afraid of you anymore.
I
now
love
that you have
this.
Twins, I'm like, she's a mom. Yes.
Yeah, I love this. This is, thank you guys.
No,
for
thank
having
you
me.
So much. We really appreciate it. And you are a phenomenal actress, honestly.
Thank you.
Such a kind person. And it's just great to have. I know Michelle's great, obviously. But it's so good to get somebody who can come in and take over a role and own it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And forget what people say on social media because it really doesn't matter unless they like you. so you know, you're doing an amazing job, and I love watching you guys. I just love watching you, your process here. It's just so fun, you know, because you both have such a huge passion for it. So
I appreciate
thank you for
you.
Spending your time with us at lunchtime.
I know, yeah.
Bradford's a cheap one, so he'll buy you lunch. He's from New Hampshire. He's really cheap. And
it's true. We don't know how to make much good food either. And we put maple syrup on everything. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's okay.
So, thank you, Cynthia.
Thank you, Cynthia.
Thanks
so
for
much.
Having me.
Thanks.
Gosh, how lucky are we to have her on our show now? I mean, the amount of things that she's done, she brings such a wealth of experience and expertise. And tough to take over for Michelle, but boy, has she done a great job. Well, that's going to do it for this week, guys. Just a reminder, we're hitting the road in January, starting in Florida, West Palm Beach, Tampa, Orlando, up to Birmingham, then over to Raleigh, and then up to Richmond. But Richmond is sold out, so I don't want to get your hopes up for that. And then in February, we are hitting Texas. We are starting in Dallas, then Houston, then San Antonio, then over to San Diego, up to San Francisco, over to my hometown, Sacramento. And then in March, we're going to Oklahoma City and Kansas City. All tickets are available at StoneColdAndTheJackal.com. If you hit tour dates and appearances, you will find them all listed there. Some of the venues have VIP tickets and general admission tickets listed separately. So make sure when you're clicking for the right ticket. If you're wondering what the difference is between VIP and general admission is just tickets to the show, which is our 90-minute music and comedy show. VIP includes the show, the best seats for the show, and then an after-show meet and greet with Steve and myself and a picture with us. So that's the difference. Thank you to everybody that ordered our holiday greetings. That money, of course, is going to the Sandy Roman Ovarian Cancer Foundation. We were able to raise a big chunk of money for them. And then we were able to give a bunch of it on Giving Tuesday, which doubled it, which was so cool. So thank you to everybody that bought those videos and, of course, that bought the T-shirts as well. Those things are still available. That money will still go to them. So even into the new year, the tour T-shirts for 2020, which have a new design, and they're in that beautiful teal color. And then holiday videos were cut off. If you're listening to this the day of release, which is Wednesday, you'll have till Wednesday night to order, but then they'll be cut off because Steve and I only have this week to film them and to make sure we have enough time to get them out to you before the holidays. So thank you, everybody. Thank you to our Facebook supporters. We're having such a great time with you guys. We'll be talking to you next week. Thanks, everybody. If you like our show, you're going to love Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow on Podcast One. Pour yourself a glass of wine and hear Caitlin play games and chat it up with some of the biggest names in Bachelor Nation and beyond. Check out Off the Vine every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.